The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Spirituality 101 on this very special day, sacred day of Good Friday. Here at Spirituality 101, we're attempting to offer you the missing college course. That course on spirituality that should have been given very early in our scholastic endeavors to allow us to understand right alongside with the world's instruction our spirituality, the laws that govern the universe, the ways in which we can access those laws, the ways in which we can begin to operate from spirit, and the ways we can go inwards and manifest or bring forth all that we are. Here at Spirituality 101, I am hoping that you are enjoying this course. I am hoping that you are sharing what you're learning here. And I have even had one lady sent me an email where she says that they have put together a study group who meet once weekly to study the lessons that are evolving out of the course. And I congratulate that effort, and I would certainly love to hear about more endeavors along the same line. Our topic today is a very sacred one. And it brings to the forefront, or it places on the table of discussion, sacrifice and spirituality. When we look at the two, sacrifice and spirituality, two very, very powerful concepts, very powerful notions, and I am wondering if you've ever wondered what sacrifice has to do with spiritual growth. Do you even consider or see sacrifice as part of the process and practice that we must engage in order to evolve our spirituality? How do you feel about that? In the spiritual arena, this question about sacrifice and spirituality is a very loaded subject. And I have been involved in discussion sessions or lectures, numerous lectures, on this whole topic of sacrifice and how and whether it plays a role in developing our spirituality. And today we're going to explore that a little bit. If you're looking for a kind of another perspective on this topic, or a modern-day spirituality, New Age, whatever you want to call it. I don't like the word New Age because nothing in the world, nothing under the sun is new. We're just simply beginning to learn how to expand and embrace all that has been old. But if you're looking for a new perspective, if you are searching to find an answer to where sacrifice fits into this talk about growing spirituality. I like to think of spirituality as growth, but growing. And if you want to get to the root of the matter, I think today's topic and today's show may be one you would not want to miss. Before we go any further, I do want to point out that I see myself as embracing everything that has levels of sacredness involved within it. I am very, very open to exploring, to learning, to embracing the sacredness wherever I find it. But I do need to go on record as letting you know that I walk the way of the cross. I'm a Christian ordained pastor with a phenomenal amount of spiritual background, having walked approximately 35 years in the process of growing spirituality, because I had this question to me that resounded very deeply in my spirit, and I would say, Lord, there has to be more. There has got to be more, because by the time I was age 12, I'd probably read the Bible twice or three times, because I grew up in that tradition. And then I began to ask, is there more? Where is the more? We're hearing the same stories over and over again every Sunday. I go to Sunday school, and I was about age 11 going on 12. And so I began to ask my parents a question. Well, is there more? Where can I find the more? And, of course, over the years, I began to realize that if I was ever going to find more, I would have to begin the process of investigation. And that process, that serious process of investigation, began for me when I was age somewhere around 30, and really devoted my life to finding the more that I felt was missing. And over the years, I have been blessed by seven very serious spiritual teachers who didn't provide answers for me, but kind of guided me through processes that will allow me to open up at higher levels and be able to hear from within and to connect with the outer universe in terms of finding the answers to dozens of questions I had written in a notebook. So while I have explored the esoteric, I have explored spirituality, I have walked into practices that have brought me to higher levels of consciousness, my foundation is firmly, firmly rooted in the way of the cross. And so today is a very sacred day for me. I find it a little overwhelming that I'm even teaching on a Good Friday. I observe Lent very carefully, and Holy Thursday, Good Friday, leading into the resurrection morning, is very sacred for me, and it's very powerful for me. Now, that's my personal choice. That is the choice of my lineage, along which I have come. Does not mean that it has to be your choice, but I think this might help you. My saying this might help you to understand the root of the foundation from which I've come. I found that having that root very firmly rooted in the way of the cross has allowed me to explore spirituality with great depth and without the concerns about being not grounded, because I find that I am grounded in that pathway of the cross, and that pathway of the cross has held me up very powerfully and allowed me to explore further and deeper. So what is Good Friday? For those of you who may not be walking in my tradition but listening to me, Good Friday is that holy day in the Christian calendar when we stop to pay our attention, to pay homage, and to grieve a little bit for the fact that the teacher of our choice, the teacher of our lineage, Jesus Christ, was crucified, and we stop to commemorate that, to mourn that, and to remember. And in remembering, allow us to be mindful, ever mindful, and to be ever grateful, walk with an attitude of gratitude to the fact that one single human being cared enough to stop and offer the ultimate sacrifice of life willingly, not unwillingly, but willingly, which open up the doors for higher consciousness, which open up the doors for us to be able to question and to learn and to grow spiritually, and helped us really open up that door to help us to move from just simple religious practices that are truly, truly designed by the community, whether it's a religious community or whatever, helped us to move from that place of just following Christian or religious beliefs, but into that realm of being able to open up to higher consciousness and higher living. And I'd just like to share with you two phenomenal quotes. I find them phenomenal. One was by Gandhi, of all people. And Gandhi's quote on Jesus's trial, etc., was this: a man who was completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies. That's pretty powerful to me, because Gandhi did not walk the Christian path. And a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., who himself gave the ultimate sacrifice of his life: human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concerns of dedicated individuals. And we know that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. went on to make the ultimate sacrifice and was assassinated. Just a couple of quotations to help us along the way. But when we say sacrifice in ancient terms, what are we talking about? We're talking about, of course, the practice in very, very, very ancient religions of offering up something that was very, something that you hold very dear to yourself, something that was very valuable, and the offering up of that, including the offering up of life of animals and humans sometimes, are represented giving of your best to the God, with a capital G, which is the Almighty God, or to a God with a smaller G, in return for protection, for wealth, for good health, and security. And so in ancient religions and ancient practices, when we talk about sacrifice, that's what we begin to talk about. But today, I want to take our attention to the sacrifices that we need to embrace and whether or not these are necessary in order that we can grow consciousness, expand our awareness, raise our vibration, and allow us to get to that place where collectively we can begin to help of the earth recreate itself into love, light, peace, and therefore bestow much blessings. Now, I know that that's a mouthful that I've just given you, and please, if you have questions jumping into your mind, and I have to tell you, if someone had said that to me 30 years ago, I would have had 2,000 questions. And so if you have a question that has just sprung to your mind when I said what I just said, please give us a call. Live on this show, it's a toll-free number, 1-866-472-5794. Call us. Tell us what you think. Is sacrifice necessary in order for us to grow spirituality? And what does that mean? Growing spirituality. We'd love to hear from you. We're getting close to the close of the first session, and today I'll be giving you several quotations, and I have one here from Augustus William Hayes. The cross was two pieces of wood and the helpless man was nailed to it. Yet, it was mightier than the world and triumphed and will ever triumph over the world. The cross was simply two pieces of dead wood and a helpless man nailed to it. Yet it was mightier than the world and triumphed and will ever triumph over the world. Why? Join me when we come back to hear the answer.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from my modem jack. Jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt, burnt, burnt all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and today we are talking about sacrifice and spirituality. And we are exploring what does one have to do with the other to the backdrop, of course, of one of the greatest examples in the world of sacrifice, willing sacrifice by the Master Teacher Jesus Christ. And today, Good Friday, is the day when we stop to think about, to commemorate, and to put into perspective what that sacrifice has meant to the entire world. I just close with a question. What does it mean, or what does it mean that sacrifice seems to be this very, very important part of our spiritual growth? And I see we have a caller, Michelle from Virginia, and we will take Michelle's call at this point. Michelle, are you there?
Yes. Hi, good afternoon, Reverend Norma. I'm here.
Well, hi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
I am very good. How may I be of service to you today?
Well, in listening to the show, I was intrigued by the question you asked, particularly because of today being Good Friday for Christian followers. And in answering your question of sacrifice and is it truly necessary, and if so, what type of sacrifice? are we required to give? And I think for myself personally, I answer that question to say that sacrifice is necessary in order to move forward, whether spiritually, in your personal life, your work life, your home life, whatever path it is that you're trying to gain growth. What type of sacrifice that is, I think with Christ being the example and going through what he went through in giving of himself and his spirit to others, for all of us, for humanity, I think we now should be in a place to understand that sacrifice is a lot more than just what the world's definition of what sacrifice should be. So it's no longer just a monetary sacrifice or just a time. You have to give of your entire self, your entire spirit, in order to grow. And if he had to do that, that makes any of us, you know, we don't get excluded from that as well. So so that's what I think of when I think of sacrifice and if it's necessary. That's how I view that.
Well, you sound like you are a young lady, and I want to compliment you on your wisdom.
I don't know about wisdom. I think it's more just trial and error. It's like anyone else.
Well, you know, a dear friend of mine used to say, normal, because I come from a tradition where when people begin to grow, to gray, that is honored, that they're growing wisdom. And a dear friend of mine here in the United States of America says, normal. You have to adjust to the fact that not all gray heads have acquired wisdom. I am also learning today that there are many heads that are not gray that carry a lot of wisdom, and I'm hearing that wisdom coming out of you.
Well, I think
you're absolutely correct in that it's kind of very interesting. If you want to lose weight, if you've got a weight problem and you're trying to lose weight, you don't have to convince people who are trying to lose weight that they have to sacrifice carbs and chocolate and ice cream in order to come to their required weight, whatever for them is that required body image that they have in mind. We can understand that very, very much in the practical world. We can understand in the practical world that if I want to become the number one runner, track and field, I can't spend all of my time hanging with people who can barely get from one place to the other. I cannot. You understand that you will have to spend a lot of time in the gym. You will have to spend a lot of time in practice, and that there is a lot that's going on in the popular world that you probably have to take your attention off of in order to acquire that goal. Mm-hmm. People can understand that really well when you talk about in the physical world. Yet I am surprised how often people think that once you begin to engage spirituality, everything in the world will just come to you without any sacrifice or any practice. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of sacrifice I want to talk about today. Mm-hmm. What is it that we have to give up, and how do we feel when we have to give these things up? Mm-hmm. Is it a hardship? Is it a understanding that this is the requirement? Is it an understanding that we're sacrificing one thing for something that is higher, it's better? It will take us on our journey. Am I making sense?
It makes sense. And actually, when you say that, what comes to my mind is, I think anyone who's followed any sort of religious practice, whether it be Christianity, Buddhism, etc., any of those leaders that you had, people who were touched with the spiritual gift and to inform us of that higher enlightenment practice, those leaders had to put their mind and their focus and take out, like you said, all of the other world's stuff in order to focus on what the message was that they needed to bring to us for higher enlightenment. And I think for us, that's, as you said, that's the first thing we need to do. We need to detach ourselves from not necessarily just the worldly things, because true, we do still have to live and eat and breathe, but make that mental note that this is what I want to achieve. I want to bring to the world this particular, you know, factor, or I want to enlighten myself on a higher plane, or whatever that is. And then we have to tune out those other factors so that we can accomplish and achieve that goal. And that is a sacrifice.
That is a sacrifice. You are an incredibly wise young woman, and I want to thank you for calling in. And it sounds as though you might be walking the Christian path. Happy happy, blessed, joyous Easter.
Thank you. I wish the same to you and yours as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. How enlightening from a very young voice. I've got another caller, Celeste from Wisconsin. Celeste, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I appreciate the question because I was raised in Christianity, but I've kind of followed my own path. And and for Easter, I don't really think so much about it. But the question of sacrifice was really interesting to me because that I can connect to on this day. And what I think incorporates a lot of the sense of sacrifice for me would be learning about letting go of ego. So that, to me, encompasses so many different situations in my life, and just kind of learning how to get along with everyone. And also, it puts me more in the present mode, which I think that is where I feel so spiritually connected. So ego seems to be the thing, learning how to let go of ego. And through that, I feel that I become a better listener for others, too. So thanks for the question.
Well, Ken, I thank you very much for your comments. Very, very, very valid. I don't know how long you've been listening to this show, but in the archives, all of the shows are archived. I don't generally like to use the word ego because it's got such different connotations in the world. But if you were to take the time to go back in the archives and perhaps listen to some of the back shows, everything that I'm doing on Spirituality 101 is to help people to let go of that ego.
Yeah.
Get the body fit, the mind will follow. Get yourself connected to the rhythm of the universe. Get yourself connected to what's above, so below. It's all intended to help us to break free of the bonds of the ego.
So what is it? What is the term that you like to use instead of ego?
I feel that as human beings, we're just running a lot of experiments. It's time for the experimentation to stop.
Right.
And when you say it that way, it's more delicate. And I think people get it.
Yeah.
I work with people who are traumatized, and I look at them and said, okay, up until now, you've been running some experiments. Let's talk about the results you've gotten. Don't like the results? Good. We'll move on to some other results.
Yes. I get it. I understand.
Thank you so much
for
taking the time to call. And enjoy the resurrected light that will come in on Sunday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bless you.
God bless you, too. Well, thank you. So far, we've had two callers, and we are easing out onto another break. Please stay with us. We've got lots more to intrigue your mind on this day. And please, be with me on this very sacred, solemn day in my tradition, because I do need that support and that help today. Thank you.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone
marrow. We need to perform a surgical biopsy.
MIBG
scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Just what is SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA specifically prepares you for the workforce.
SkillsUSA empowers students to connect with a network of people. SkillsUSA allows students to connect with business and industry, to manage their education, and to really get a feel of the real world.
SkillsUSA.
Find out more on the web at skillsusa.org.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and today we're talking about sacrifice and spirituality. We've had some interesting inputs from our callers, and we have Paula from Maryland on the line. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Reverend Norma. How are you?
I am fine. How can I be of service to you today?
First thing, I would like to say blessings to you on this Good Friday.
Thank you.
I would like to follow up on the first caller that you had, because what I found very interesting is that in this world, currently in this world, very often we are taught that, yes, you go to church and that's the sacrifice, and as long as you tell yourself, well, I believe, you don't have to do anything. It will all come to you. And I just wanted to follow up with that, because to me it is, and I'm trying not to be judgmental here, but it's the wrong image that often is going out into the world. And I agree with the first caller. I agree with what you've been saying. Everything, there's a price. There's a price for everything, even for our basic happiness.
Thank you for that question. Thank you for that question. As I'm listening to you, I am thinking of my own journey, because I teach best from my own journey. I was raised, as I'm sure you've heard me say earlier on in this program, I was raised firmly rooted in the Christian tradition until I got to that place where, God, there has to be more, because by 12, yes, I've learned. I could tell you exactly what the process was, what happened in Old Testament, what happened in New Testament, and I was ready at 12 for more. What that did for me, though, and see if this answers your question, what that did for me was, first, as a babe, I was taught I had to believe. As a babe in the Word, I had to believe. Believing is critical, you see. When we go to church, they teach us, you have to believe in Jesus Christ, because that is the teacher you're following. Can you feel me?
Yes.
And we all need a teacher. We need somebody ahead of us upon whom we can place our attention and we can learn from there. But I think when the Bible says you have to believe, it goes much, much, much deeper. You're believing in Christ because you're a babe and you can follow the teacher. When you have mastered the art of believing the teacher, you are more geared and grounded to believing the universal principles. Because that's what he was really pointing to. The teacher was pointing to the universal principles that govern the world. And if you can believe in those, but you see, when you're a babe, it's like a baby, and they feed you milk, they teach you first how to believe. Unfortunately, in too many religious organizations where there isn't spiritual growth, you get stuck right there. The only belief you need to do is in this teacher you're following. Am I making sense?
You're making a lot of sense, and that is so true. And how do we spread that word that there's more?
Well, first we have to understand the kind of rhythm that belief creates. We start first by believing. We practice belief through whatever religious persuasions we're following, whether it's Buddhist, it's following whatever that tradition is. We learn how to believe. We master belief. Belief takes us to faith. When we believe enough, we will grow faith. When we've grown faith, faith will take us to knowing. See, where the Christian religion, the basic Christian religion, stops is once you have mastered faith, you got it going on, and you got a seat in heaven. You start with faith, and then you grow faith into knowing. You begin to know some things from the inside of you. You begin to know that you know that you know that you know. And that allows you to be grounded in your search. I don't know if that helps you to understand. Now, when you are grounded in your search, you can expand and reach out to more universal principles. Where basic religion stops is you need to believe, you need to have faith, full stop, amen. Those are two very preliminary steps into this growth called spirituality. Did I answer your question?
Yes. And actually, what I was saying was more of a comment I was making, because it's an observation I have seen in my life that
yes,
so often, and it's frustrating at times. It is frustrating at times because
But remember, until as humans, as spirits walking in a human existence, until we stop, for me it was there has to be more. For some people there has to be, I'm not getting the results that I'm looking for. I am not engaging the abundance and the joy and the inner peace. It's when we get to that critical stage where we begin to look for more that the universe can then pour forth the more. What is missing and what is lacking so often is when we, by virtue of the religious practices that we're involved in, they've got us like trapped into those limited boxes, that this is it. But the universe is endless. The universe has endless possibilities. The universe has, there's so much more, like the galaxy of stars that we see above us. There's so much more. And so you need to be wary of any religion or any concept that traps you into a box of limitedness. And maybe that's the message we need to get out.
Thank you. Because
there is more outside of that box you're living in. And you need to wake up.
Thank you. I like your choice of words. We become trapped.
In a box.
Within that, as humans, sometimes we allow ourselves to become trapped in that box.
Trapped in the box. And sometimes we allow ourselves to get trapped in the box because we don't want to sacrifice anything.
And I think that's how I will spread the word.
It's the sacrifice.
Don't allow yourself to be trapped in the little box.
This is the sacrifice piece that we're running away from. Oh, dear, you mean I'm going to have to meditate? You really mean I'm going to have to go do some yoga here? That's what we're afraid of. I'm going to have to let go of what is kind of like keeping me limited. You see, the worst place on earth to be is comfort zone. And so many people in religions, are trapped in comfort zone.
Thank you for giving
me. So, good way to say to them is, are you in comfort zone? Hello, that's a dangerous place. Can you attempt to get out of it?
Thank you for the new tools. Thank you.
You're most welcome, and have a wonderful, wonderful Easter, and enjoy the resurrected light.
The same to you, my sister.
God Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Today is a busy day. I have Thomas from Virginia on the line. Hello, Tom. Are you there?
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Oh, wonderful. How can I be of service today?
Well, I enjoy listening to Reverend Norma, and I go to church, and when I do, I become frustrated. I walk in there, being a Catholic, and first thing I see is a dead man on a cross. I understand the teachings, and I understand Jesus, and I come to, is this savagery or something? And I believe that phenomenal teacher, mystic, healer, and everything about him is awesome. But I'm stuck when I see there on the cross, and I feel conviction. I feel kind of stuck because what I see on the cross is not what represents his life's work.
That's
know
right.
It's the end piece to it all. Then I'm constantly reminded that for his sheep. Now, I figure, okay, we're sheep. They go around in herds and are obviously easy to be led, but sooner or later, you know, move out of the sheep concept start walking a path, which I'm hopefully waiting for them to acknowledge and to start moving people forward, if not themselves.
But see, we have to understand, and I can feel your arm. I will not wear a cross with Christ on it, and I'm a very committed Christian, you better believe that. But I will not wear a cross with Christ's body on it. I don't entertain the images of the battering, etc., because I understand resurrected light, and I understand that was a sacrifice, it was necessary. So why would I walk around focused on that rather than on the resurrected light that came in on Easter Sunday? My granddaughter, who I think is a little bit smarter than I am spiritually, asked the question when she was about six. We were in church, and she says, well, Grandma, you know, I don't understand why we use the cross as the Christian symbol. Why don't we just use the stone, an image of the stone that was rolled away from the tomb?
Brilliant.
And she's very much into stones, and everywhere she goes, everywhere I travel, she wants me to bring a stone back. But we've got to come out of that entrapment. There is more. And while the Catholicism brings order and structure, it will take you into order and structure. And it's almost like many of us, not all of us, some of us come ready to do our work, but many people traversing the earth need to be reminded or need to go through that ritual of practice of structure and order, and that is what Catholicism will do for you. But once you got the structure and the order in place, then it requires now that you make a commitment and start saying, Lord, there has to be more. And once you start going, Lord, there has to be more, I guarantee you, the universe will draw teachers into your space, even children sometimes, so that you can begin to experience and practice the more.
Yeah, and I understand all the churches and organizations have scholars and so forth. Why aren't there findings and teachings? Why haven't they not begun?
Well, you ask, and that's a question I think I will structure a whole session on, because it's a very powerful question. You know, when I came to the United States of America, I had already had several years of spiritual growth behind me, years of walking with serious, serious grassroots spiritual people. And then I came to the United States and engaged the whole study to become an ordained minister. I have to tell you that you can't scholars, unless they have been exposed to serious spiritual growth, are trapped in their scholarly thinking. Unfolding spirituality has nothing whatsoever to do with reasoning. It has to do with the heart, and it has to do with the spirit. And so you'll find in many of these institutions people who have been well-schooled, and I respect them. You know, I'm a Dr. Edwards, too. I respect their scholarly achievements, but that sometimes has very little to do with the spiritual growth, the spiritual walk, and the sacrifices that must be made in order to grow spirituality. Now, that's not to say that all these scholars are devoid of the spirituality, but too many of them were never forced to walk the spiritual way. So the scholarly achievements come from the head and the mind, not necessarily from the spirit.
So it's all about intention, I gather, and then the thing about moving into the multidimensional selves that we have and working on different levels and the understanding that that's something very difficult to teach, I believe.
Well, you can't put new wine into old skins. Remember that piece from Scripture? It requires first a re-education to move away from the scholarly dogma and to move into the spiritual awareness. And until they become spiritually aware, there's really very little you can do to add information in there. I want to thank you so much for calling. They're queuing me out. Have a wonderful Easter and enjoy the resurrected light.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
Mom! My tooth fell out!
The coach says I can play shortstop!
I get to be a deciduous tree!
You live for the firsts in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. We're having a very busy time. I'm so excited. So many callers. We've got Brenda on the line. Brenda, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Norma, I'm here.
Hello,
and happy Good Friday to you.
Well, thank you.
And thank you. I know it would be a blessing for you in Easter Sunday when Christ is risen.
And the resurrected light comes in.
Yes.
Sometimes I think people are not as aware. They think that this whole week, Holy Week, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, is only the prevail, the place, or the it's only sacred to people who walk the Christian way. But in point and in fact, on Easter Sunday at sunrise, resurrected light descends on the planet, and wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever way you're worshiping, even if you never thought about worshiping, you are fully exposed. It's like having a dark room, and then you walk in and you flip the switch. And when you flip the light switch, the objects in the room really don't have a choice but to be exposed to the light. So on Easter Sunday, the light comes in, and it is there for anyone who is open and willing to receive it.
Oh, wonderful. I was just calling to follow up on what Paula said and what you said about that knowing, because as we have spoken before, I was brought up in the Catholic faith. Catholicism was mine from about 5 to 35, so I had 35 years of intense structure and order. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point where doing the work and my work, and then feeling if in me there was a void, that there was something missing, and I had to go out in search of. And what I found was spirituality, and that really helped me. And I'm still working. I'm still a babe in it. I see myself as still crawling in that spirit, on that spiritual path, to really understand, as you said, the deeper knowing. And I think that is the piece that has moved me to the next and is moving me to the next level on my spiritual growth and development.
Yeah, yeah, I can feel that. I can feel that as you speak. We are taught that we're children of the Most High, and we believe that, and that is quite true. What we're not taught in churches or even in Catholicism is that children have to grow up. We're not supposed to remain children. He expects us to grow from childhood into adolescence and then into full-blown maturity. And when we get into full-blown maturity, we can become co-creators with Almighty God. But our churches has trapped us into believing you're children of God, you will die 100 years old, you'll still be a child of God. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And what you said is relative. You go from the belief to the faith, and that is correct. You go from the belief to the faith, but the moving to the next point where is to the knowing, when you get that, and as you told Paula, to that point where you don't ask the question, you have the answer.
Because you finally gotten in touch with everything within. You see, we must remember that as a part of the universe, we know everything that the universe knows, everything that the universe got trapped in, every little cellular structure is also trapped inside of us, and it's waiting to be uncovered. But unless we make some sacrifices and turn away from the popular culture and turn our attention to things more esoteric, and to make the sacrifices we must make, we got to give up some of this company and friends that we're keeping who are not interested in the growth and development that we are in. We are going to have to restructure our day and our time and our focus to focus more on spiritual things. All of this is sacrifice. We are going to learn how to have to fast, move away from our love of food as much as we do and so invested in food and do some fasting. We are going to have to learn, sacrifice and stretch our bodies. We're going to have to sacrifice and adopt, let go of crutches, religious crutches we've been holding for a long time. And that's a sacrifice too, to let go of that and be open to the universe. And so it's a learning curve. And sometimes I get kind of frustrated about how do I help more of the masses. There are a lot of people around me, I'm blessed, who have the same interests as I have, and I get the opportunity to teach the things and to practice the things that I have come to believe. But I still think there's a vast majority of people out there who are still trapped in that box that says, this is it. Mm-hmm. Once I go to church on Sunday and I drop my tithe and I can do whatever I want to do during the week, because next Sunday I will go to church and pray for forgiveness. And that's okay. That's what children do. When we move from childhood to adulthood, we have to take more responsibility. We've got to make sacrifices. We understand that when you go out and you buy the house, you will have to pay the mortgage first before you go off on the Caribbean trip. Isn't that true?
Exactly. But, you know, it's interesting as you said that, because when you said there is everything we need to know is inside of us, because I remember as a kid, my mom used to say, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from Ecclesiastic. I think it's 3:9. But I will tell her, but mommy, this is new, because we just found this. This is new. This is new. And she would say, no, child, it's not new. You
nothing
just discovered
new under the
it.
Sun. Yeah, because we have it all inside. I see that she's giving me 1 minute to close. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you very much for the education. You're always educating me on my spirituality. And you have a great Easter.
Thank you, and receive the resurrected light.
I feel well, thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I see I have one more caller, Cynthia, but unfortunately we have 1 minute to go, Cynthia. If you are listening, I promise you that when you call the next Friday, you will have the first take. Because I must close out. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to say to you, be with me in the solemn sacredness, even if you don't walk my path. compassion, I am sure, would help you to understand and to be with me in the sacredness between today and Sunday. And as we walk in the sacredness, we open up ourselves to receiving the resurrected light on Sunday, which will come in for every single human being who walks the planet and give us yet another expanded opportunity to be able to grow spiritually. Walk softly, gently upon the earth. For you argued for your right to be here. And now that you are here, you are encouraged to be happy. Be simple in your choices, but be strong in your convictions. Until next week, God bless you, God keep you, and bask in the wonderful, wonderful resurrected light that comes in on the planet on Easter Sunday morning, whether you're Christian or not. Until next week, peace and blessings.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.